Family Chat se enteró del $5 McChicken Meal Deal, del $5 McDouble Meal Deal y del nuevo $6 Daily Double Meal Deal. Todos con papitas y bebida pequeña más McNuggets de 4 piezas. ¡Wow! ¡Qué banquete! Por tiempo limitado, precios y participación pueden variar. No es válido para McDelivery.
¡Come on!
This episode is brought to you by Money Alignment Academy. If you are looking for a financial wellness platform for your company, your organization, and your employees, check out moneyalignmentacademy.com or click on the link in the notes of the show.
Lorna, are you ready?
I'm ready.
I'm ready. The people are ready. Let's go. Welcome to Lifeblood Engage. This is George G. Our guest today is a strong and powerful Lorna Helps. She's the founder and CEO of Vibrant Thinking, helping team leaders boost morale and productivity in a hybrid and remote work environment. Excited to have you on. Lorna, tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Thank you, George. So I am from the UK. I'm from a fabulous county in Northumberland, which is near Scotland. That's the easiest way to describe it. I have one daughter and two cats. And why I do what I do is because I see this point in time where we've had a very difficult year with the pandemic. We've had to trial lots of different ways of working. We've proved that the impossible is in fact possible. And this is the moment where I think we can really make a difference in work and the workplace and make it a better place for people. And I do that from having worked at Procter & Gamble for 17 years and knowing what it's like to really find your passion in what you do, but also more importantly, I think really being allowed to have ownership of your life and work, and how that ownership done well means that you love your life and you are at your most productive for the company. So it is a win-win. And I really think that now is that a moment to really make that happen across the world.
Yeah, it's an opportunity, right? It's been awful in most ways, but hopefully when we do come out of it, it's got to eventually happen, doesn't it, Lorna? That it's really an opportunity to be making some major changes. So it strikes me that it would probably be easier for smaller organizations to make changes. Won't be easy at all, but versus bigger organizations. Do you think that that's true?
I think that is probably undoubtedly true, because smaller organizations are naturally faster and fleeter on foot, more prepared to take risks, and can possibly, even because they're smaller, they could adapt and almost have a structure that helps everybody, where I think that bigger companies are never going to be able to achieve that. They've got too many people, which is where they are really going to need to think about this. Being able to give ownership to their employees and give the employees responsibility, as opposed to the natural way of managing people and constantly looking over their shoulders, demanding to know where the work is, the whole thing of presenteeism versus actual output. That's going to be the change. I think we'll have much more of an impact on bigger businesses, but it's going to be a more difficult and challenging ride.
Yeah. It's interesting, right? I remember reading about some statistic that said that our minds are wandering like half of the time anyway. So if we can help people to, myself included, to just be more focused, that's probably a story for another day. So when you talk about ownership, tell me a little bit more about that.
Okay, so how I see ownership, how I talk about ownership, is where you as an individual take responsibility, as I said, about an understanding of where and how you work best, and can make choices based on that, taking into account as well the what are your objectives from the business point of view and what do you need to deliver, but then being able to make adult choices about whether or not you turn up to a meeting or whether you say, actually, I'm choosing not to go to that meeting because actually my time is going to be better spent doing something else. And that you understand the consequence of that is you might not be able to influence something in that meeting, but on the other hand, you've achieved your objective that you have as being most important. Together with that, it's about, if you know that you work best in the morning, that you're able to structure your day in that way. And it's from the employer's point of view, they do have to give they have to be able to allow their employees to experiment and make mistakes because that's the only way you're going to learn, rather than be too rigid about this is how it's done, this is the only way to do it, strict, I guess. But there's a balance here between if you the long term, if you can give that ownership to employees, what you then get back is tenfold in terms of what they will give to you, productivity, loyalty, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think that does make a lot of sense. That's why in the world, why wouldn't I want, from the employer perspective, to have employees who have figured that out? You know what? I work best from, when I get up super early, from 5 a.m. till, whatever time in the early afternoon, and then I want to be free to do this or the opposite, and helping them to go through a process, because it will be right to sort of figure that out for myself. So that it's kind of a story of commitment on both sides, right?
Absolutely. And it's the other, it's, I kind of see it like it's everybody's a little jigsaw piece in it that together makes an amazing jigsaw puzzle picture, but every piece is slightly different and works slightly differently. And when thinking about, certainly in the UK, how the conversation is going about whether or not it's going, coming back into the office, people wanting to work remote, and how is it going to be going forward? The reality is that most people want to be able to choose when they go into the office and when they work at home. So any employer saying you have to be in the office 2 days a week or 3 days a week, or setting rules again, is limiting their ability, they're putting their employees again into boxes and trying to tell them how to do things, how to work, rather than again trusting them to work out that actually that meeting they really should be in the office for, so they're going to make the effort. So it's going to be a long two-way conversation journey, I think.
Yeah, that's it's super exciting, I think, and I see challenges and opportunities everywhere with trying to figure that out. There's probably some kind of a standard operating procedure, minimum versus too much, and sort of try to meet in the middle, right?
Yeah, and it's going to be different for every organization, because that will also depend on how prepared they are to take risks and push, whether or not they want to start with more framework and loosen it out, or if they want to just start as far as they think they can push it. It's going to be different for each organization depending on their needs and their employees. I think that the start point for this needs to be conversations with employees to understand what they want to do in an ideal world. And why? Because again, if you understand the why, that sometimes allows you to think of other ways. If they're saying, I'm not going to be able to think of an example, but if they're thinking, I only want to be able to work this one day in the office, if you understand the why behind that, you might be able to find flexibility that works for both of you rather than stopping, just taking that at face value.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So I think that, the human part of it, if that's the right term, but being able to work one-on-one with everybody and to be able to get their feedback and say, okay, tell us about what and the actual what and the why and all those things. I can also see from an organizational standpoint, from a human resources and even a legal standpoint, then people that are not maybe trying to take advantage of the system and having a structure in place and a framework for being fair and just, right?
Yeah. And I am a great believer in this coming down to measuring output. So that you are given a work plan, you are told what the expectations are of what you need to deliver. How you then deliver it is up to you. But the important thing is that you are delivering it, and you're delivering it on the time that has been expected, and to the standard that's been expected. And, you know, that means that, you know, even if somebody, you know, if somebody is doing that and, you know, achieving what they should be doing on the time levels, but people can clearly see they actually have quite a lot of time on their hands, then I'd be saying you need to increase that work plan, because clearly they're capable, their capacity is much more than you're giving them. But equally, if people are just taking the mickey and, you know, just not, you know, they're spending a lot of time just pottering about the house, doing various things, not working, that should be reflected in the results, because they're not doing the work. So
right,
it'll be picked up. Mm-hmm. and then you can really start to have conversations about not delivering against the work versus not, which is much more tangible than just not being seen at the right meetings, or you know, them being able to argue, but I went to this, that and the other. It's like, well, that's all well and good, but you're not doing the work that we've asked you to do. That's what you need to focus on.
Yeah. I think just the fundamental thing there is that everybody wants human beings in their organization at every level to own and take absolute ownership, and understanding that, if we can start there, which is kind of essential to all this, right? That has to be the core belief that is what we want. And then we then need to trust that these people are going to get the work done. And the trick here is that they have the ability, the autonomy to do it as they see fit, even for going to meetings and showing up because they've made the decision that this is the best way for me to get this work done.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that, you know, for some people, this might be that's an obvious thing. But I think there are many organizations where that sense of ownership doesn't exist. And that therefore, when things go wrong, they won't look internally to look at what they could do better. It's only ever about the external, you know, I couldn't do it because you told me this, you know, I couldn't deliver the work because you told me I then had to go to this meeting, or whatever it is. It's very then easy to blame the company or external factors on why you're not delivering. When you have true ownership, I mean, it's never one or the other. But I think, if, as you know, as an individual, if you truly own, feeling that you have ownership, it's like, it's not just about, well, I wasn't able to do it because the company didn't allow me. It's like you're able to look in and think, right, what could I have done better? What could I have learnt? And that makes you better for the next time.
Yeah, I think having an appreciation that it's not going to be a straight line, right, from here to success with this, right? We're going to make mistakes and needing to commit to that, like we talked about.
Yeah, Never a straight line. And I think it's almost imperative that it's, if not encouraged, then it's certainly acceptable and to make mistakes and to learn from them, because that is the only way for people to really learn and to be able to take risks. If you're not a natural risk taker, you need to know that it's okay if this doesn't pan out quite as you thought it was going to. But the critical thing being that, you know, again, this is something that I learned from the corporate world of, it's okay to make mistakes, but when you make the mistake, you realize you've made the mistake and you go and talk to your manager or whoever about it. The important thing is you go with this has happened. This is what I think we should do in order to fix it. Might not be the actual fix that happens, but you are going there, again, taking ownership, saying this has happened, but this is what I think we can do to fix it. And then you can work together to get a great, great result. And often it'll turn out it's not actually the disaster that you thought you had at all. And actually a lot of positive things come out of it.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So how does an organization capitalize on this opportunity that we have?
So it's for me, it's about stripping everything back, and forgetting how everything worked in the past. As I say, a first step is really to understand what your employees want. Secondly, to then look at what you as an organization want, because this may have changed again over the pandemic. It's not just individuals, but the organization, you may actually want to change things in the culture or your vision and values as a result. And then you need to look at, like, okay, so what strategies do we need to put in place to deliver against these two aspects of employees and organizations? And the most important thing is to have a mindset of put things in place and fast and try it and learn from it and adapt as you go. So again, going back to this thing of, like, there is no way of getting this right first time. Nobody knows the answer to it. So you are, and certainly nobody knows it for your organization. The only way you're going to learn is to try things. Whether or not that is, how you're running meetings or looking to reduce meetings because that's actually taking up so much time from everybody, put it in place, see how it goes, learn from it and adapt.
I love it.
But the people who start learning faster are going to benefit quicker here.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, Lorna, the people are ready for your difference-making tip. What do you have for them?
So the tip for me is really, if you're an employee, to really start to think about where you know that you work most productively, and in an ideal world, how you would want to work, and have a very strong sense of that. And as an employer stroke or as a team leader, so you might be both employee and a team leader, it would be to understand what your organization stroke team wants. That you cannot spend too much time at this point talking to them, not just understanding what they want, but understanding learnings that they've had from these past year, because I think that would be also critical in helping finding a way through. So it's a two-way thing. Both parties need to be involved in this.
Yeah, I think that is great stuff. That definitely gets come on. Lorna, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? How can people engage with you?
My website is vibrant-thinking.com, or you can find me on LinkedIn, Lorna Helps.
Well, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Lorna your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to vibrant-thinking.com. Find Lorna on LinkedIn. I'll list all those in the notes of the show. Thanks again, Lorna.
Thank you.
And until next time, keep fighting the good fight, because we are all in this together.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
With Car Guru's Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Guru's Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Guru's is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Guru's at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.